I really love those verses from John's gospel, and I will not be preaching on them tonight. And they were preached at my wedding 11 years ago, along with a passage from Jeremiah 29, and woven together beautifully by a preacher who is not me, but continue to sort of weave in and out of my life in so many ways. So tonight's reading from the Acts of the Apostles is strange, isn't it? It's strange and wonderful. It's even fantastical in so many ways. Sometimes I find it inexplicable exactly what's going on here. And I think at the same time, in a time such as ours, it is near on impossible to believe. Let's go back to it for a second. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised, that is the insiders, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Can you believe it? For they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. This is not a thing Gentiles do. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited him to stay for several days. In a time like ours, where division is the rule of the day, in a time like ours, where blame is cast in every direction but our own, in a time like ours, where they, whoever they are the cause of all the world's problems, in a time like ours, when fear dominates the airwaves, in a time like ours, where self-giving love is deemed obsolete, in a time like ours, a story like this is near on impossible to believe. It may be impossible to believe, and yet it is the story that calls to us this evening. It calls to us this mysterious sequence of events, and it calls to us to pay attention. Because in this story, the impossible happens. Holy Spirit falls, and she falls upon one and all. She does not discriminate. But she pours herself out on all who hear the word in that room that evening. Holy Spirit falls. And if I can be a bit more clear, she falls in places she is not welcome, in the places we will not invite her, in the places we have banned her from, lest she call into question our fear or our hate. Holy Spirit falls as she surprises each of us, those of us on one side, those of us on the other, and those of us on the other, yet another, and yet another, and yet another. All of us thinking that we are right, that God is on our side, that God will come through for us over and against them. And yet when Holy Spirit falls, in this story at least, she falls in several places. She falls pouring herself out. Well, where does she come first? Not to Peter. First in Caesarea, to Cornelius, a centurion, a soldier, a leader of many other soldiers, soldiers who had it out for the Jews, who had seen to Jesus' death, and who, at the time of the writing of Luke and Acts, had destroyed Jerusalem, had cast down the temple, had scattered the people a decade or so before. And the writer of the book of Acts tells his audience that God appeared first to the oppressor in the form of an angel to open to him the possibility of community and reconciliation. What a strange sequence of events. What a strange thing for this person to receive the call to enter into reconciliation with those he and his contemporaries had been sent out to destroy. When the Holy Spirit falls, in this story at least, she falls in several places. She falls pouring herself out. Second, in Joppa. To Peter, an apprentice of Jesus the Christ, Peter, the one who had betrayed his master, Peter, the one who had jumped out of the boat, Peter, the impetuous one who had carried his guilt and his grief at betraying his friend under pressure, and who, when asked by Jesus whether he loved him, could eke out little more than, I like spending time with you, which is good enough for Jesus, who sends Peter out to tend the flock, who will reveal to Peter the many flocks that are actually out there, who will reveal to Peter the astounding way in which God is at work in the world and out of anyone's control. Peter, who sees the vision of the animals from heaven, who recoils in horror because he's on a special diet, and while delicious, this expansive first century Whole 30 will remain certainly mess with his sensitivities and challenge his cooking repertoire. When the Holy Spirit falls in this story, at least, she falls in several places. She falls pouring herself out. And third, back in the centurion's home, friends and family, gardeners and slave, and quite a few soldiers, a welcoming place if you know how to behave, perhaps less so if you're a known friend of a revolutionary Jew. And there in the centurion's home, Holy Spirit has fallen. A hush has taken over as the centurion is beheld. Cornelius, as the revolutionary is beheld. Peter. As hospitality is offered one to the other, they look deep into each other's eyes. They acknowledge what lies between them, that which ought to keep them apart. The law is very clear about who can associate with whom. The church is very clear about who is in and who is out. And yet here we are, called by God into each other's presence, different sheep from different folds, together once again, together at last, hearing the story of God's work in another's life and then sharing that same story, and there in the midst of it, the listening, the sharing. Holy Spirit falls upon one and all. She does not discriminate. And Peter's insiders, those who, like him, are circumcised, who are the true believers, the ones who God alone has called, are astounded that Holy Spirit would dare to share her gift with people such as these. After all they've done, after all they've taken, after all that's been. And so they're astonished. Astonished and surprised, perhaps a little angry. I can see them there wondering out loud how such a thing might be possible. But why wonder what is possible when it's already happened, when it's happening all around you, when everywhere, every day, is God is calling, where God is calling God's children home, where God is binding up the wounded, is seeking after the strayed, is strengthening the weak. And that Peter, the one Jesus invites to tend his sheep, the very same one who betrayed him and who spent so long wallowing in guilt, is now the one who demands to know who, if anyone, can withhold the waters of baptism, even from these. Because I think Peter understands that God was present here all along, that Holy Spirit has bestowed her gift, and somehow, inexplicably, how Jesus has brought everyone together. Jesus has brought us all together. With all that has happened, with all that we've seen, how can we refuse to join God in hearing stories of God's unexpected faithfulness? That's what's happening in that story, and that's what's happening here. As we share some of our own stories, as we join together with God, each other, and all of creation, in singing and dancing and prophetically embodying the impossible reconciliation of all things. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And what Peter comes to discover is that that love is not just for those who are on the inside. That love is expansive, is global, is cosmic, and continues to break down barriers, continues to invite on the journey people you wouldn't expect, and that in joining on that journey, we are all transformed by the God who is made manifest in this love, who is embodied in those people that we come to meet, who we come to find as beautiful as ourselves, as broken as ourselves, as confusing as ourselves, and that somehow together we are called to embody God's love. And this is a final reading from Rilke's Book of Hours. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing, embody me. Flare up like flame and make big shadows I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the country they call life. You will know it by its seriousness. Give me your hand.